Good morning. This is the April 22nd Earth Day meeting of the Senate Finance Committee. We have Senator Herr's Omnibus Legacy Appropriation Bill before us today. And want to begin, Senator Herr, do you want to start presenting the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Member Senator Fowle. 2865 is our 2025 Legacy Omnibus Bill. This is a result of the 2008 Constitutional Amendment, Legacy Amendment, that was passed by our legislature here, but to the voters of Minnesota with 77% of the voters supporting this amendment. And here we are today hearing the bill for this year. There's four articles in this bill. The article for outdoor heritage fund, the clean water fund, the park control fund, and the arts and culture funds. And I, for better time consideration, I'd like to pass this time to Mr. Mueller to explain to us in detail what's in those articles, and I'll stand by for question afterward. So.
With that, Senator, thank you, Senator Herr. Maybe Mr. Mueller wants to go through the walkthrough of the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to work off the spreadsheet that has the, it says the Omnibus Legacy Bill, Senate File 2865, first engrossment with the A31 amendment.
Okay. Sure, you can do it either way. We had not moved the A31 amendment. Well, we can take that up first to discuss it. And I will comment on this first, that I think there's a lot of interest in trying to make sure we have the best possible way to make sure our grants are wisely done with the state dollars, with the legacy dollars. And talked with Senator Herr a couple weeks ago about this, and I think he expressed his whole concern about this, and his goal as chair is trying to make sure that small groups are underrepresented and others have been left out of the process, and more cultural diversity and so on would be able to get grants when they're not always able to do so. And that the groups that have the most capacity to lobby, the most capacity to get the grants, have traditionally been getting more than lots of others. And so he, I think working with you and Mr. Stanley, also were from nonpartisan research, were trying to come up with a way of making sure this happened. And so, I mean, the package that's in the A31, which you can go through in just a minute, was attempt to try and focus on that. And I think you came up with grants that were under, well, you can explain it, under 300,000, and with the groups that didn't have the capacity to fight themselves for it. And I see in the A31 on page 15, prioritizing organizations from communities whose culture and heritage have been historically underrepresented or have struggled to access culture and heritage resources in the past, including but not limited to, and then listing groups that have been there. And I think that that kind of thing, and then what you did, I believe, was that the groups that came out, these smaller groups that were smaller grants that didn't have the capacity, and you put those in as priorities for Humanities Commission. So it would not be named grants, but they'd be given a priority consideration. With that, maybe if Senator Herr wants to comment on this, otherwise maybe just go through the spreadsheet, whatever your preference is, Senator Herr.
Mr. Chair, I think let's go through the spreadsheet and I can stand and question a bit. I just want to add that over the course of this session, we listened to 51 legacy bill. And so very much all the 51 are listed in the amendment itself, and also those that may not be named in here still have opportunity to apply through competitive grant. So I'll have Mr. Mueller go and talk about the detail of the amendment.
So Mr. Mueller, you pointed out there are two spreadsheets, so you're going to go through the one with the A31, and Senator Murphy, would you offer the A31 amendment so we have it in front of us? If so,
I'll move the A31.
Senator, Mr. Mueller, then, so you're going to go through that spreadsheet, and my copy, I don't know if others of the spreadsheets has the A31 language highlighted in blue to distinguish the spreadsheets. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'll start working through the spreadsheet again. It says on the top with the A31 amendment, and once I get to Article 4, you'll see what the A31 amendment does as far as the projects and everything compared to what's currently in the bill. The first three articles, though, are unchanged from the A31 amendment, so I'll go through those on the spreadsheet. The first set of columns is basically what has been proposed either in the governor's bill or from the November forecast. The second set of columns is what's currently in the bill, and you'll see the difference. For Articles 1, 2, and 3, the difference is largely based on less money in the February forecast being available for the legacy funds. There was a one-time adjustment of about just less than $32 million across the legacy funds in the February forecast due to a calculation error at the MMB based on how they're allocating legacy funds. So they made a one-time correction, and that brought down the balances of the four legacy funds in the February forecast.
Mr. Mueller, before you continue, how much did it bring it down, percentage-wise, roughly speaking?
It was a total of $31.7 million across the four funds. I don't know the percent right now, but I got the dollar amount. So with the spreadsheet here, starting on page one is the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and we'll be working off that second set of columns. The Outdoor Heritage Fund, this is the fund that we only appropriate 1 year of the legacy dollars based on the recommendations from the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. And they'll be back next year again with the second year of recommendations. The other three legacy funds we appropriate the 2 years. You'll see in that last column the adjustments made by the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. They did a sort of proportional reduction throughout all the projects and lowered their total amount by $6.4 million based on their original recommendations. So those, you see the reductions on the end column there for each project that was reduced. And there are members here from the council that can answer any questions about the specific projects, but I'll just do a subtotal here. Subtotal for Prairies is $33.4 million. Subtotal for Forests is $19.9 million. Subtotal for wetlands is $29 million. The largest area here is habitat is $77.6 million, and then there's various appropriations here under administration for just over $2 million. And there is a second year appropriation for the commission itself. But the total amount for the Outdoor Heritage Fund is $162.9 million. And again, there'll be a recommendation for a second year coming next year. Each of the legacy funds, there is a 5% fund balance that is left that is required in statute. So the appropriations will need to leave a 5% balance. And each of the funds in this bill does have a 5% fund balance. On lines 89 through 91, there are a few carry forwards that are also in the bill that are tracked, and they are shown there. And then there is one cancellation on line 94 of $120,000, and that is factored back into the amount available to appropriate in fiscal year 26. The Clean Water Fund starts on page 3, line 96. Again, the way that the this spreadsheet works. It shows in the first set of columns what was originally recommended by the Clean Water Council and carried in the governor's budget. And then the second set of columns is the Clean Water Council revised the recommendations based on the February forecast, which had to be reduced by $6.8 million from their recommendations. The Clean Water Council did a more targeted approach to the reductions, and that is shown in the last column. They made a reduction in the water quality Forever Green initiative of $1 million. And another project, expanding the weather station network, of reduction of $200,000. So the Department of Ag total is $33.3 million. Next page, there's one item that was not recommended by the Clean Water Council, and that is on line 113, the Red River Watershed Management Board. And this is the River Watch program that has been carried in the legacy bill for a number of years, going back to one of the original legacy bills. So that is the one item that was not recommended by the Clean Water Council. The Pollution Control Agency, there was one program that had a reduction for the county inspections of subsurface treatment systems. Pollution Control Agency total is $49.2 million. Next, we have Department of Natural Resources. They had three programs that had minor reductions. Their total is $28.8 million. Next is the Board of Water and Soil Resources, which receives the majority of the clean water funds. They had two programs that had reductions, and their total is $139.3 million of the clean water money. Next is the Department of Health, and they had one program that had one minor reduction. Their total is $30.1 million. Then Met Council had another one program that had a minor reduction, and their total is just over $4 million. Then the University of Minnesota, their total is $2.4 million. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission, $7,000 for the website. And then the Public Facilities Authority of $16.5 million. The total appropriation from the Clean Water Fund for the 2 years is $303.9 million. The next article, and there is one carry forward on line 192 dealing with the Ash River Sanitary Sewer Treatment System. The next article, Article 3, Parks and Trails Fund. Again, the differences between the two columns is just having less money in the February forecast. Traditionally, this money for the Parks and Trails Fund has been divided 40% to state parks, 20% to regional parks, and then 40% to metro parks. And this proposal in the bill carries that split out between the three partner organizations. So the total amount for state parks on line 197 is $51.5 million. Total amount for regional parks and trails is $25.8 million. There's a carve out for administrative costs for the DNR that actually runs that administers the grants for the regional parks and trails. And then there's another carve out on line 200 for the coalition, the work done between the three partners, and that's $500,000 each year. That $500,000 each year is for the administrative costs for the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Commission. The coordinating amount is on line 201, and that's for work done between the three partner organizations. And then on line 205 is the amount for Metro Parks and Trails, and that's $51.5 million. Then you'll see an appropriation for the LCC for the work on the website. There is a one-time cancellation on line 212 for $41,000 that was from previous appropriations through the Regional Parks and Trails program, and that has been canceled, and then reappropriated back to the regional parks and trails. Again, this one has, this fund has a 5% of set aside fund balance. On page 7 of your spreadsheet, there's a number of carry forwards. These are all from the Regional Parks and Trails Commission. And then you'll see the cancellation on line 236 and 237. So now starting on page 8 is where the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund is tracked. And you'll see on the second set of columns what is in the A31 amendment. And on the first set of columns is what's currently in the bill. So largely what the A31 amendment is doing is creating some new competitive grant programs and then eliminating many of the named programs. And it then takes some of those organizations that were previously named originally in the bill and puts them as priority organizations. So for most of the agencies, there's been no change in the A31 amendment. The Arts Board is still getting 47% of the amount appropriated, and that's required by statute at $84.55 million. The Historical Society, the A31 amendment contains a new grant program for memorials and statues. That's on line 253, and that's for $1 million each year. And then you'll see on lines 256, 257, and 259, those were named grants that are no longer in the A31 amendment. However, you'll see on line 259, there's an asterisk in the fiscal year 2006 or 2026 column. What that asterisk means is that now that organization is named as a priority under one of the grant programs, and I'll point that out when we go through the actual language in the A31 amendment. So you'll see a number of those asterisks as I go through the spreadsheets. And like I said, what that means is they're no longer a named grant, a named organization with a set dollar amount. They are now a priority organization, and there is not a dollar amount. So the one named grant still in the bill is on line 258, and this is for the Special Guerrilla Units, veterans and families, and that's a program that was funded in the current biennium at the Historical Society and is continued on for $125,000 each year in the A31 amendment. So the total amount going to the Historical Society is $33.76 million. And that's an increase of $682,000 compared to what's currently in the, or what was in the Senate File 2865. Department of Education, there's no change. Still $4.8 million for the biennium, and that's money that goes out to the regional libraries. The Department of Administration, this is where many of the named grants were listed previously in the bill. There are still, on lines 267 through 273, organizations that are still named as recipients. These are ones that are traditionally funded in the legacy bill, like Minnesota Public Radio, AMPERS, Minnesota Public Television, Wilderness Canoe Mobile, Como Zoo, Science Museum, and Lake Superior Zoo. So these are all still in the A31 amendment under the Department of Administration. You'll see starting on line 274 and going on to the next page, these were all previously named organizations with a dollar amount, and now they have all, the ones that at least that have asterisks are now listed as priority organizations under mostly grant programs that are in the Humanities Commission. So the total that was going to the Department of Administration is down. It's $20.77 million, and that's down $8.5 million. The amount going to the Minnesota Zoo is unchanged in the A31 amendment. It's $3.64 million. On page 10, on the top of page 10, you'll see this is the start of the Humanities Center. Many of the programs starting at the top are unchanged in the A31 amendment. Line 309, still $3.5 million for Humanity Center programs. And then on lines 310 through 323, there are still named children's museums. This all came from one bill, starting, and the children's museum is named, and then a number of other children's museums throughout the state are named with a set dollar amount. And this all came from one proposal. On line 326 is a grant program for emergency grants, for community identity and heritage emergency grants. And then on line 328, starting on line 329 through 331 are three new grant programs that now are serving many of the previously named grants. The first one is for museums, exhibits, and collections. Online, and there is $4 million for that. That's a competitive grant program. On line 330 is a competitive grant program for arts and cultural festivals and events, and that has $6.4 million. And on line 331 is educational and recreational programming and events, and that has almost $7.2 million. And then there is a fourth one, ethnic media grants, that was in the bill. And is now funded separately at $250,000 per year. There's the underrepresented groups and cultural studies for $500,000. That was originally in the bill and also in the A31 amendment. And then the Gordon Parks program was originally in the bill and is also in the A31. And then the separate grants on lines 339 through 341 that were in the bill are now not funded separately, and the two on line 340 and 341 are listed as priority organizations. The last page of the spreadsheet, there's been no change in the proposal. In the A31 amendment, the Indian Affairs Council has a little over $4 million. The Department of Agriculture has $1.2 million. There's two programs there, County Fair Grants and the Minnesota Future Farmers of America. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission has $5 million appropriation for their website. And there are three appropriation extensions carried in Article 3. And again, there is a 5% set aside with that article. The last page of the spreadsheet just shows the total amount appropriated in this bill with the A31 amendment. And you'll see on line 384, it is $776.9 million. And I do keep a running total since the legacy amendment was passed. And this brings it up to almost $6.3 billion has been appropriated since the legacy amendment has been passed. And my last plug that I always point two is the legacy website is a very helpful source for finding information about all the grants that have gone out previously and has links to all the agencies that run grant programs from the new money in this bill. And that is the spreadsheet. Any questions? Or otherwise, I can go through the...
Senator Pratt, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and Mr. Mueller, thank you for walking through this. I understand the move to competitive grants. As I understand it, it brings us more in line with what's happening across the street and how they're approaching the legacy bill. My concern is that as we name projects as priority, that it's really kind of a difference without a distinction. We're basically directing those agencies to do those projects named as priority. So what I want to understand, and what I'm not picking up on the spreadsheet, Mr. Mueller, is can you tell me how much? So if I go back, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. So if I go back to lines, what, two, I think it's under 266 on down, we go from 16 million in F, or 17 million in FY26 down to 9.3 million. We basically zeroed out all of those priority projects. Can you tell me how much those priority projects would be and how much is left for the truly competitive grants?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pratt, I can tell you originally in the bill there was about $10.9 million of named appropriations that didn't include the ones on lines, you know, 267 through 273 that are usually considered sort of traditional grants. So there was about $10.9 million of other named organizations. And now in the bill, there is just $250,000. So there's about $10.7 million that have been rolled into the competitive grant programs. And there was already $9.8 million of competitive grants. So now there's about a total of $20.5 million of competitive grant programs. The question about when they're named as a priority, there is no set dollar amount, even though they were previously in the bill with a dollar amount. Now that they're listed as a priority organization, it'll be up to the agency operating those grant programs to determine what dollar amount those organizations would be receiving if they receive a grant.
Senator Brett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Mueller, I've got to think that if the legislature is telling an agency that these are priority projects, that one, they'll be funded, and two, that they'll be funded for the full amount. So can you tell me how much of this $10.7 million would be dedicated towards to the priority projects? Let's just presume that they're all going to be funded because that's what the legislature is telling the agencies. And again, I think calling them a priority is a difference without a distinction.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pratt, that's a hard question to answer because, like I said, there'll be an RFP process for each one of these grant programs, and they will determine the dollar amount. There's also language in the A31 amendment that says 80% of the money has to go out for grants that are less than $200,000. So the way I would view that a lot of this would happen, that even the priority organizations, most of them wouldn't get anything more than $200,000.
Senator Pratt, I also think when you say that if they're listed as priorities, they will get funded, and they will get funded for the full amount where there's no full amount given there. And I also think that, I hope that agencies that are given priority consideration to things does not mean that they don't take a look and say, hey, this is one that maybe is inappropriate. But in others, I don't think it's the same thing as saying we're naming the grant. But.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got to say, once we name priority organizations, we are effectively directing those agencies and those organizations to fund those projects. And you know, we can play around with what it means. They're not competitive grants. They're earmarks that we're just trying to gloss over. And I would be surprised if some of these weren't funded for the full amount on the request that's in the original title prior to or in the original spreadsheet prior to. I just haven't gone through and been able to add up what those mean. But what it means is that there's very little for other organizations. There's no mention of a 50th anniversary commemoration for the end of the Vietnam War. There's no mention of, you know, we funded a number of 50-year community celebrations, but left out the Lao, Cambodian, and Vietnamese from that funding. These competitive grants are not competitive. Once we name an organization, they're going to get funded. And I see some of the, you know, I see some of the directors in the audience today. And I would suspect that every one of these, they won't go against the legislative intent. They'll say, well, the legislature told us to give them priority. We're going to fund these, and we're going to fund them for the amount that they requested. The amounts might go up, quite honestly, Mr. Chair. And that's even a bigger concern, right? If I were to take the Bonka Museum at $132 million, what's to keep them from coming in at $200 million? But they're priority, and we're going to fund that. I think this puts this legacy bill in almost a worse situation than it was in before, because at least we could talk about the individual projects and how they've been limited. But what's missing, I think, is what's really disturbing to me as well. You know, I'm very concerned with naming any of these projects as priority. And it's something that we should be taking a very close look at.
Senator Pratt, when you said out of the 20 and a half million competitive grants, you said most of it's going into these. If I'm just doing a quick look over of the totals of the ones that have the asterisks, and it looks to me like it's $3 or $4 million out of the 20 million. That's my quick read, and maybe Mr. Mueller knows better. But,
Mr. Chairman, I've done a little bit of math here on the side, and I'll try answering Senator Pratt's question here. Under the memorials and statues, there's $2 million of monies appropriated, and there's only there's three priority organizations within that. $300,000, so that's about $1 million of the two million. Under performance and events under the Humanities Commission, the museum and exhibits and collections, there's $4 million set aside for that, and about 800,000 of it is priority organizations from the original bill. The arts and cultural festivals, the $6.4 million of competitive grants, and there's about $900,000 were for the priority organizations originally in the bill. And then the education and recreation programming of the $7.2 million, the priority organizations originally were receiving about $2 million of that.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Chair, can you tell me why we've designated some as priority and some as not?
Senator Herr and then Mr. Mueller, yeah.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Pratt, those who are named as priority are the bill that has been heard in committee, and originally the bill itself, not the amendment has the priority listing, but the original language had designation directly to them. So to be more transparent and accountable for this community, for this committee, we group it up as competitive grant. And let me answer Senator Pratt's question earlier about that is a guarantee that those who are named as priority will get the dollar that they asked for. That's not necessary 100% accurate. I can have agency here to testify to. You know, I would say the agency that even though we prior, and then this is from the past experience of competitive grant with project that had been listed prior to my being chair of the committee, is that group that even though we listed and they're not ready, their management experience is not up to par with the requests that they made. The agency will work with them, and you know, we'll work with them for the next year appropriation. Perhaps it come back to legislation, perhaps not, but they while working to help the agency so that the application is more robust or strengthened in order to, for them to get the grant. But it's not a set deal where the list are priority and we're gonna give them the money. They will go through some evaluation. Being that they're here to testify and we honor and respect their testimony well, so that you know it's worthwhile for them to come and present their bill. I also wanna take this moment to clarify one of the points that Senator Pratt made about the 50-year celebration, that some group has been segregated or take out. That's not true. That's a misinformation. The Street Center, if they're here in the background, they can come and testify that all ethnic minority of Southeast Asian received them. I think they have given me a list of 12 or more agency, and all those are very, very diverse of the ethnic minority of Southeast Asia, and including LGBT, and most of the nonprofit that received the grant are woman run as well. So I did ask the History Center in my community, and they have shown that it is appropriate. Last year, our appropriation did go to all group that you know are needed for the 50-year celebration. And 50-year celebration is the appropriation last year, not this year, because if you appropriate this year, it'll go over to 2026. So just wanna clarify that.
And Senator Herr, on that point, you didn't have any in the original bill, you didn't have any 50th anniversary things for any of the groups, because again, as you said, they gave the money last year. The Humanities, was it Humanities Commission, was it that one?
Part of it's Humanity, the other is the History Center.
Okay. Yep. And also, Senator Pratt, I mean, my rough math from what Mr. Mueller said is of the $20 million in competitive grants, less than a quarter of it, 4.7 ballpark, was the only ones that were given priorities. I mean, three quarters or more of the money is not anybody mentioned. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and let me just reiterate that I don't believe any of these should be listed as priority. If we're going to have a competitive grant program, and if we think that there's really going to be scrutiny, these should be able to stand on their own. The question that I had asked is why did we name some a priority, and that wasn't addressed, right? We talked about the process, we talked about the bill hearings. But we didn't talk about why we named certain ones. And if we want to talk about, you know, yes, we gave $150,000 to get the 50th commemoration up. Senator Pappas had a bill for an additional $150,000 to the Humanities Center to finish that project. That bill, I don't believe, was heard nor included in the bill. And I can't think of, you know, when we start thinking of all of the American veterans and the Southeast Asian veterans that have fought side by side, I can't imagine a more economic use of those funds. You know, when I go and I talk to these veterans, whether it's, you know, out at Fort Snelling or Holman Field, and it's the Southeast Asian veterans, or I'm at my local VFW and Legions, the one thing these Vietnam veterans say is, we just wanted to be recognized, we just wanted to thank you, because they were treated so badly coming home from the war. And we can't even appropriate $150,000, we can't name them as a priority in any of these, we can't even get a bill hearing on that. I find that shameful. But I would like to know again, Mr. Chair, how did we determine and why did we name some priority and not priority?
Mr. Mueller, and then go
ahead. Mr. Chairman and Senator Pratt, it spun off from what was originally in the bill. The organizations that generally were in the bill for less than $300,000 were not a local unit of government or were not part of a larger organizations were listed as priority organizations.
Senator Hur, any more comment on that? If not, Senator Howe, I believe, had some comments. Senator Howe?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, I think this A31 is a step in the right direction, but I still have problems that we name certain outfits that get still get grants. I think all the grants should be competitive. And I will go down a similar road, but I won't belabor the point of Senator Pratt. But, you know, when we try to balance this an equal process, and I look at it as a scale, and we're going to try to make this an even, fair process, and then automatically, right away, we put the thumb on the scale and said, these projects are priority. And I think that is a mistake. I think that all these outfits, all these grants should go on an equal level, equal playing field, and let the folks establish who deserves the grant and who doesn't deserve the grant. Because we've just now, through this bill, as a step in the right direction, and then we automatically put a thumb on the scale and say, yeah, but these guys get priority. I think that's a mistake, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on A31. Senator Jasinski, is your hand up? Oh, okay. If not, Senator Murphy moved the A31 amendment. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Division. Those in favor, raise your hands. Six, okay, and those opposed? By a 6-5 motion, the motion prevails. Further amendments or discussion of the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me who the six in favor were and who the...
Sure, can you...
Yeah. My understanding is... members online do not vote in division.
Okay. Then let's move to reconsider so we can do a roll call. We don't count division. Is that, yes, that counts. We don't count division for roll call. So,
Mr. Chair, how do you do that? Is there someone on the, I guess, on the prevailing side you can reconsider?
We had a division. It should be a 5-5. The motion failed.
Okay, you in the committee.
So we announced that the motion failed.
Okay, on a 5-5 vote, the motion does not prevail. Somebody who wishes to reconsider does not have to be on the prevailing side. Senator Murphy, do you want to reconsider the vote?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I move reconsideration of the vote.
And ask for a roll call. So
I request a roll call, please.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Point of order here. How does that work when they weren't on the prevailing side?
You don't have to be in committee. That's four votes.
Mr. Chair, could we have Senate Counsel?
Sure. Senate Counsel, could you speak to this?
Mr. Chair, if you'll give me a moment, I'll find the Mason's provision. But in committee, you don't need to be on the prevailing side to reconsider. Just give me a moment and I'll find the Mason's site. Mr. Chair, the Mason site is Mason's 640.2. The principal, let me see, a reconsideration can be moved at any time while the proposal still remains before the committee, and that reconsideration may be moved by any member, even though the member was absent when the vote was taken. So it doesn't have to be by somebody on the prevailing side while in committee.
So we, Senator Murphy is allowed to make the motion and has moved to reconsider and ask for a roll call. Is there further discussion on that? First, on the motion to reconsider, staff will take the roll on the motion to reconsider, not on the substance.
Senator Marty?
Aye.
Senator Friends?
Yes.
Senator Pratt?
No.
Senator Champion?
Aye.
Senator Dames?
No.
Senator Dreheim?
No.
Senator Howe?
Nay.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Muhammad?
Aye.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Senator Pappas?
Yes.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
By a vote of 7-5, the previous motion will be reconsidered. So we now have the motion on adoption of the A31 amendment that Senator Murphy moves at, and we'll take a roll call. Staff will take the roll.
Senator Marty?
Aye.
Senator Friends?
Yes.
Senator Pratt?
No.
Senator Champion?
Aye.
Senator Dames?
No.
Senator Dreheim?
No.
Senator Howe?
Nay.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Muhammad?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Senator Pappas?
Yes.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
On the motion to adopt the A31 amendment, there were 7 ayes and 5 nays, and the motion does prevail. Further amendments or further discussion? Senator Hur, I think you had some technical amendments as well.
I believe I do. Yeah. It's the A32 amendment.
A32, is that in the packets?
Yeah.
It is in the packet.
Mr. Mueller can explain the technical amendment.
Mr. Mueller, you want to...
Mr. Chairman and members, the A32 amendment is a technical amendment. On line 1.2, it adds the correct fiscal year to one of the appropriations in the Parks and Trails article. And then on line 1.4, this adds an effective date also to the cancellations that are in the Parks and Trails article.
Senator Friends moves the A32 technical amendment. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. The other one's also technical, A35, and that's in the packets as well. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the A35 amendment amends the A31 amendment, and there are a number of references in the A31 amendment that refer to how much a percentage of the admin can be used for the competitive grant programs. And this is just clarifying that, notwithstanding Minnesota statute section 16B98, subdivision 14, which is a section that the Finance Committee is well aware of, that sets the admin cost for the different grant programs at either 5 or 10%. So the bill itself, the A31 amendment, does set different admin percentages, most time lower than what's in 16B.98. So this is just clarifying that it's notwithstanding that statute.
Senator Howe, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think what I see here is, you know, the bill The amendment actually limits the administration to 5%, and I think that should be well and good enough, where this would allow it to go up to 10%. And I think on the competitive grant piece, it allows them to go up to 10%, and I think that taking that money away from these organizations that are going to do good work is a mistake.
Mr. Nauman on that.
Mr. Chair, if you'll permit me, permanent statute 16B98 sub 14, Senator Howe, establishes that for grant programs, agencies may retain 5% or 10%, depending on whether the grant is competitive or not. So what this language is doing is just clarifying for certain that the individual administrative cost values established in the bill notwithstand that statutory requirement.
So in other words, if the, Senator Howard, Mr. Nauman, you're saying that in effect, whatever they spelled out in the bill is the amount, not the automatic 5 or 10%.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Much more succinct.
So in actuality, Mr. Chair, thank you. So it's going to stand at 5%.
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, the language for the administrative costs that resides in the A31 amendment will be the administrative costs. And as Mr. Mueller has testified, in most cases, they are lower. They're values that are lower, either percents or dollar amounts, than the statutory requirements.
Okay, let me rephrase it, Mr. Chair. So it in the amendment, it says up to 5%.
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, maybe I'll help. If we go through, I can show you in the A31 amendment the different agencies and what those administrative costs are. And this, the A35 amendment was just clarifying that we're not using the percentages in 16B.98. The first one is on page, if you go to the A31 amendment, the first one is on page 4, line 9. This is the administrative cost for the Arts Board, and that is up to 5%, but this is a competitive grant program. 16B would have allowed them to go to 10%. So the Arts Council is doing 5.
Senator Hill. In other words, so it's this, the bill sets it at 5.
Yes.
Under subdivision 14, it would be 10 because it's competitive.
So that's, Mr. Chair, that's what I'm trying to drive at. Is it set at 5%, or is it because of the amendment would be allowed because it's competitive go to 10? That's my question, is if it's actually limited, if actually what's in the amendment is driving the train on the administrative costs, and that's what this amendment does, I'm good with that. But I'm just trying to clarify that that's what it does, and if someone could speak in English in plain terms instead of, so I could understand that, I think most of the people out there are trying to grasp that too, is it, if it's up to 5% and that's where it's limited, or because of the other statute piece, is it up to 10% because they're competitive? It's a yes or no question, I think.
I'll try and answer. I think it's in the bill, on that one example he gave, it would be up to 5% in the bill. Without this amendment, it would be up to 10%. So the amendment is, the existing law, subdivision 14, says for competitive grants, it's 10%. This takes it down to 5%. So it's reducing, at least in most of these, I think he said it's reducing the amount they'd be allowed.
So on the example, it would be capped at 5%. That's what I needed to know. It's just a yes or a no. That helps. Thanks.
Further discussion on the A35 amendment. Senator Friend's A35 amendment. Any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And we are going to have, I think the whole thing of that subdivision 14, I think is a lot of us are very chafing at the bit about that, and I've actually got some language to try and address that in state government bill.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to support that.
I will show you that.
All we do is keep shaving and giving more money to the agencies. Let's get it out there to do the work that we intended to do.
Further discussion on the bill. We got the amendments all done. Mr. Mueller, can I ask you, does the bill align with the budget rules?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it does.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I won't belabor the point, but while I agree with Senator Howe that I think the move to competitive grants was a move in the right direction, I continue to be very concerned with the fact that we prioritize some of these projects. I'm very concerned of some of the things that were left out that I think are very important. And I think it's useful to note that we can't always trust some of these organizations to be equitable. You know, Senator Herr talked about that every community received a certain amount of funding. Well, there was $767,000 allocated, of which over a half a million went to 68%, went to the Hmong community. The Lao community walked away with 46,000, the Cambodians 50,000, and the Vietnamese 25,000. Hardly equitable. And I've had communications with the History Society, I think at the displeasure of saying, and 16%, 124,000 going to kind of general. It's sowing division within our Southeast Asian communities. And I think this bill continues to do that. And some of the bills that I think particularly Senator Pappas and I co-authored would have gone a long way to making sure that we are doing the work that the legacy funds were intended to do, and I'm disappointed that some of those weren't priority. Senator Herr, I appreciate the work that you've done on this. I'm going to be a no vote on this bill, and I would like to see it come back yet again. I would hope it does not pass committee to the floor today, that we can continue to work on it here in finance before it goes to the floor.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Friends.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Herr. Thanks, Mr. Mueller. I'd request a roll call on final passage.
Okay, we'll have a roll call. Senator Herr, on the bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this bill, and I appreciate the question from Senator Pratt. And seem to reiterate the division within our Southeast Asian community. I can attest to that. We are united, and thank you for trying to divide. If you don't know the community well enough, continue to divide us, and we will be stronger together. Whether it's Lao, Thai, Vietnamese, Cambodian, we all together. I can share my experience when my family first come to this country, landed in Seattle, Washington, and there was a Cambodian woman was pregnant, was under labor. So they look around and say, who can help to translate for this woman in labor right now? So they went and grabbed someone who looked like Asian person, which happened to be a Japanese heritage. So the person said, I can't speak their language at all. So you have to find someone who can speak their language. They went and grabbed a Vietnamese man, come and translate. I can't understand. We are from Southeast Asia. Although we're from Southeast Asia, we speak a different language of each other. So suddenly they call my father, who speak Thai, and so as the Cambodian family also speak Thai too. So it takes a whole Southeast Asian community and everyone to come together and deliver this child, refugee from Cambodia at that time. So thank you for trying to divide. You are misinformed.
Mr. Chair, I think those comments are out of order. That wasn't the intent. And I take that personal attack as not becoming of the decorum that we have here in the Senate.
Okay. Senator Herr was not referred to other members in terms of trying to do it. I hear your point
you.
About how we have to work together is important. But yes.
Sure. I just want to say that our Asian community, as I know, stands strong, and I want to encourage, whether it's the Lao community, I speak Lao too, Sabai Di, Vietnamese community child. I spoke Vietnamese to some degree. I spoke Chinese and Mandarin in some degree. And so do come to my office. You are more than welcome to come to my office, and want to make sure that you receive appropriation next time on Legacy as well. And I do felt that we need to commemorate our 50-year commemoration. And the one that are, and it was appropriate last year already. And so this year, if there's need more money, I'm sure the group that need the money, whether the city, the Humanities Center, History Center, they have the capacity to apply to our 20% large grant. And I'm confident they can do that. But the sum of it all is I heard the committee say that we are heading to the right direction. And I like to believe that we compose this bill to the right direction. And although some may be concerned that we are listing some group here as priority, we list them because they came to testify. We list them. Perhaps they don't have the capacity to get our RFP. And if we don't list them, by the time we know, based on my experience, is that by the time we know, the RFP are out without their being informed. We list them so they can be informed that our RFP is out. And based on my experience being here 10 years, a little bit more than 10 years, even though we list them, sometimes it went to a different agency that's not even here to testify. And it frustrated them when they fought so hard to be here, testify so many days, hours, without lobbyists, out of grassroots. But the money went to some larger agency out there who said, we can do better. And so that's not fair and that's not equitable. So even one thing I want to point out, even though we list the number of agencies here that are community color, even though we aggregate all of them together, it's still not up to 25% that should be going toward our posse of community colors agency in itself. But I appreciate this committee, and it's not a rubber stamp committee where I listen and compose a good bill, and then you just rubber stamped it and send it to the floor. But you helped me. You helped me mitigate and improve the bill. And as I heard earlier, that we're stepping toward the right direction. So thank you very much for giving me the hearing.
Thank you, Senator Hur. Senator Muhammad, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank Senator Hur for being a really thoughtful chair. I think he mentioned in the beginning the amount of committee bills that his committee heard, and that every single one of those was included in his bill, and that he didn't leave anyone behind, which is a testament to his leadership and how inclusive and kind he is as a member of this body. So thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dames.
To that last comment, there are things that are not in this bill that were in front of this committee that were heard. So just to correct the record, there are things that were heard in this committee that are not in this bill. So I don't want somebody saying that everything that was heard in the committee was in the bill.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Friends moves that Senate file 2865 as amended be recommended pass and instructs the staff to make technical and conforming changes. And Senator Friends had asked for a roll call. Is there further discussion on the bill? If not, staff will take the roll.
Senator Marty?
Aye.
Senator Friends?
Yes.
Senator Pratt?
No.
Senator Champion? Senator Dames?
No.
Senator Dreheim?
No.
Senator Howe?
Nay.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Muhammad?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Senator Pappas?
Yes.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
Senator Champion?
there being, on the passage of Senate File 2865 as amended, there being 6 ayes and 5 nays, so the motion does prevail. And Senator Herr, I want to thank you for, again, you've made it clear the prioritization of groups have been left behind and the smaller groups. And I think that 80% for the smaller groups is helpful. And also the language you have in there about how they prioritize these, I think will help, as you've been saying, and Senator Champion and others have been saying, some of the folks who've been left behind in the past should be included. There is no further business. We're meeting tomorrow at
8:30
a.m. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.